I have not read a more hysterical ripoff of Tom Stoppard since the original founders of the Reduced Shakespeare Company created their 20-minute Hamlet.
It's rarefied air, Austin. We're happy to be among such titans of the theater.
Yeah, man.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 977, Dogberry and Verges. Actors Michael Dougherty and Will Mobley have written a wonderful new comedy called Dogberry and Verges Are Scared, which shamelessly applies the template of Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead to Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing and creates its own amazing and very funny new thing. Dogberry and Verges Are Scared is having its world premiere in the next couple of weeks at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival, and Mike and Will took time out of rehearsal to discuss their play's inspirations and origins.
When Mike and I started to work on this play, we realized it's like, yeah, you know, we are sort of like quoting from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, but I mean, even combined, we are like nowhere near as smart as Tom Stoppard.
Even him at like 26 or however old he was when he wrote that.
Yeah. We're like 1/8 of the intelligence of Tom Stoppard on a bad day. So the similarities sort of begin and end pretty quickly.
But the nice thing about that is that Stoppard is a writer and you guys are actors. So you're performers. So you know how to kind of drive a scene forward in a way that the early young Stoppard and, in fairness, the early young Shakespeare tended to kind of meander and philosophize. I think gives Dogberry and Verges Are Scared like a great momentum, a comic momentum that I read this script when you sent it to me, and I was astonished it worked as well on the page as it did, because it has no right working as well as it does.
We feel exactly the same way. We were surprised too.
We've also said that like one of its biggest selling points is that it's half the length of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah. Right.
And half the length of RNG Are Dead, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, and I saw a great production of RNG Are Dead a year or so ago up here in Chicago, and it was edited down, so it was came in at just around 2 hours or something with an intermission, and it was. And I don't know what I missed. I have no idea what I missed. And I love that play. But I don't know. I don't think.
And I think Stoppard would agree with you from what I've heard. You know, mm-hmm. He's like, that was a young person's play and it could use some edits, you know.
And I think part of the thing that we're trying to do is, you know, I mean, anymore, people want to get in and out of the theater in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with a play that is trying to be and is, in our opinion, as funny as ours is. I mean, you just get tired from laughing at a certain point. And I think the other thing is like where Stoppard really digs down and explores the sort of cerebral existential thing. Ours is more of a love letter to theater, to actors, to Shakespeare actors, and to Shakespeare. And, you know, you don't really need as much dramaturgical real estate for that. Like, you can really like get those points out quickly and succinctly, we feel.
Yeah.
Well, and not all laughs are created equal. You can't sustain that level of comedy for that long. And also, nobody will care if they don't care about the characters. And I cared about the characters in the draft that I read, but apparently you've done a rewrite that grounds the characters a little more deeply in what they're trying to accomplish.
The thing that we circled was like, how do we take especially Dogberry from someone who like has this desire to be recognized and to be revered to someone who desperately needs money because they're starving and they're broke and like turn their circumstances from like unfortunate to dire so that his whole quest, his whole weird consumed drive for glory is also driven by, you know, my house smells like feces. And we have to get out of the shithole.
Now, is this Dogberry that you're talking about, or you specifically, Mike?
So I started talking about me halfway through Aunt Grant Rising.
Tell me, how did you guys come up with this idea? What motivated what was the impetus to write this play?
Mike and I were in a production of Much Ado About Nothing, and we played Dogberry and Verges. Mike was Dogberry, I was Verges. And we had such a good time building those characters, building their relationship, and building the comic vocabulary. And I mean, from, you know, the first second that we met each other, our chemistry was just clear to both of us and everyone else in the room. We had people coming up to us after the table read asking like how many years we'd been working together, and we had met, you know, 10 minutes before we started reading the play.
Yeah. And credit to Will, like, you know, Verges doesn't have a lot of language, but even at the table read, like, Will checked in with me and was like, hey, what do you think you're going to do for Dogberry? I was like, I think he's got like a fragile ego. He's got like a lot of machismo that he's masking. Then Will was like, I think I'm just going to ape everything you do. So like, as we're in the interrogation scene, Will is out of his chair, like staring down Baraccio and Conrad, like at the table.
Well, listen, I'm not above digging a laugh out of a dumpster. Even if I don't have any lines to do it with.
Someone literally said that our buddy Nate, who was playing Benedict, said at one point, this is table work.
Yeah. Look at how a clown does table work. This is a clown's table work. Is mugging.
Exactly. So we had such a good time like mining all of that stuff and, you know, finding the language of the piece. You know, we said like, when this is over, we have to do something with this, you know, with this new friendship, this new relationship. And we pitched a couple of ideas. This was one of them, just like, you know.
You pitched them to each other.
Yeah. We like, I stayed in Milwaukee an extra week after we closed. And we kind of think tanked a bunch of ideas. This was like the most like a play and not like a two-person clown show. And so the decision ultimately became like, do we want to write a play right now? Are we going to become like playwrights versus like guys who do who do side projects like centered around ourselves? And it felt scary, but it also felt like the most fully realized idea that we had.
The other great thing about what you're doing is that I love it when actors take back the night and develop their own material. And you're not even developing material necessarily for you to perform. You are serving as air quotes only the playwrights, but are also the producers of this. Tell me where that motivation and energy came from.
Well, we're still looking for the energy and the motivation every day that we wake up.
It couldn't have been a more reluctant stepping up to the plate.
Yeah. You know, we pitched the play to several theaters. And for those of your listeners who have ever written a play and tried to pitch it to a theater, I mean, getting an artistic director to double click on a PDF in an email is like pulling teeth.
Theaters love unsolicited scripts.
That's one thing we've learned.
Ad infinitum, they love it.
Yeah, but after,
and you know what? What they love even more is solicited PDFs that they never respond to.
Yeah. So after going through that sort of, you know, that sort of process with several artists, like, and again, well-meaning, well-intentioned, very, very, very busy artistic directors. Mike and I were like, you know, it would be a crime if this thing just sort of languished on a hard drive somewhere. Like, what would it take for us to do it? The initial idea was to do it at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, but in order to submit there, you really need a lot of material. It's helpful to have a lot of material, video, photo, reviews. And so in order to get that, we decided to apply for the Philadelphia Fringe Festival,
which I had produced in before on a much smaller scale. And part of what really grew this project from like a scrappy fringe idea into like this co-production that it now is, you know, we reached out to Brian. We had done our one reading at Cincy Shakes that was actually like they paid actors for 48 hours to come in and read it. So we were like, hey, we're thinking of We're thinking of taking this thing on the Fringe circuit. If you want to be a part of it, you want to be a part of this world premiere.
Get on the ground floor.
And they called our bluff. Wow. He's like, I'm in. Like, we've been meaning to take a show to Edinburgh. Your play is on a short list for us. Let's do it. So we're like, okay. Well, I think we need to start a theater company.
Yeah,
which then, you know, instigated a mad scramble for us to like figure out how to be producers. But like, it has been an incredible learning experience, an amazing journey. And like you said, Actors Taking Back the Night. Like, to anyone that you have that follows your podcast that's listening right now who's thinking about doing this, I cannot recommend it enough. It is hard, but you will learn so much. And there is so much to gain, I think, from that autonomy. I think all of us have been in a situation before where we felt like props in a director's play or like set pieces in someone else's play. And to be able to have this sort of like artistic control is really empowering and liberating. And, you know, honestly goes back to the roots of Shakespeare's theater. Like, it is a part of the heritage, you know, like we make the thing. So it's been a wild ride, and we're you know, that we are still on.
We're learning as we go.
Hi, I'm Brian Isaac Phillips, producing artistic director at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Michael Dougherty and Will Mobley, whose new comedy, Dogberry and Verges Are Scared, is having its world premiere at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival from September 5th to the 14th, 2025.
I'm not surprised that Brian and Isaac Phillips and Cincinnati Shakes took a shine to the script, because he's done several of the Reduced Shakespeare Company scripts and absolutely shares this sensibility. But speaking as producers, you know, I read the script, and I, back of my mind, I'm going, is there any possible way you can cut some of these characters and therefore some of the actors required? Have you considered that at all?
We did a lot of consolidating over the years. You know, we definitely had artistic directors be like, can this be a two-person show? Can it be a three-person show? And because part of the DNA of the show was including the Shakespeare scenes in the way that Stopper does in RNG or Dead. Yeah. We were like, okay, well, how few people can we do those scenes with? Right. And we got that number down to six. Yeah. So we were like, okay, if we have Dogberry and Verges and four actors who play everyone else, then we can make this work. And so that's
not bad. Six is not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not. And, you know, like, we started at 16, then it was 8, and then it was 6. And we're like, if we got it down further, it would become a different play. It wouldn't be the thing that interacts with Shakespeare's play anymore. And that's what we wanted to write, you know?
Right. You want it to be a quote-unquote real play. Listen, I understand
that. Emphasis on the quote-unquote.
Matthew Decker is our director. He's a Philly director who Matt knows. And he was, Mike. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Have I been calling you Matt this whole time?
Since the day we met.
2.5 years.
I've been meaning to say.
And you choose now? Mike knows Matt, our director from Philly. Matt was one of the first directors that we spoke to who just wanted to celebrate the play that we wrote and not put his spin on the play that we wrote, which, you know, we had a lot of conversations with, again, with like incredibly talented, smart directors who wanted to tell us like the special thing that they wanted to do with it. And that might be great later on down the line, but for its first sort of outing into the world, it was so important for us to have someone who immediately understood the nature of the, like, of the buddy comedy, of the Laurel and Hardy of it all, and celebrate that and help us bring out the play that we wrote, rather than taking our script and like putting their ideas on top of it, because, you know, the play is still very much in process. Yeah. And yeah, we want to it to keep growing and developing,
and someone who could appreciate the pathos and heart as much as the comedy math of it. Yeah, Decker is a very heart-forward person as much as an artist. And that being an ingredient in the kitchen was, like, not only helpful, but kind of vital to making this thing worth everyone's time, you know, absolutely, in the theater.
That yeah, balance is so important. So important. Yeah. And like, all artistic relationships are like personal relationships, you know? You know, they're hard. And so to add different chefs to the in the kitchen, you know, you want to make sure we're all working and trying to develop the same play.
Yeah, as we've been working on this process, it's I'm struck time and time again at what an impossible concept making a play is. You have to wrangle truly dozens of artistic visions behind one single thrust and create one holistic piece that brings together all
of these. Yeah, it's kind of a miracle when it works out.
That it ever happens, yeah, and somehow it does. And like, yeah, being on this side of it that yeah, the miracle of that is like really, yes, really apparent. So yeah, we feel really lucky that we have not only Matt, but like everyone working on the play really yeah, seems to, you know, we're all on the same page, so yeah, to speak.
Well, and this includes the social media and the graphics, the title art that you have. It's all tremendous. It's all selling the script that I first read.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Great to hear. Yeah, because again, it's like there are so many disparate artifacts and pieces that have to come together and exist within the language of the thing, especially as you're trying to promote a show in a fringe festival, yeah, where all you have is like, how can someone look at a poster and understand what this play is, or like yeah, see a 10-second social media clip and know like what the, you know, what the fabric of this play is, and know whether or not it's going to be worth their time.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Michael Dougherty and Will Mobley's Dogberry and Virgis Are Scared will have its world premiere at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival this September 5th to 14th, 2025. Go to phillyfringe.com for more information. Then send us your lost clown via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. Or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to as pretty a piece of flesh as any man in Messina, Matthew Croke. Web services by Ginger Power Limited. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tracy Michaels. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Brian Isaac Phillips, Artistic Director of Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 977 2931 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So this is great. You're up and running. What's your next project, boys?
I'm going to sleep for a couple of years and spend some time with my wife.
Yeah. We wrote a combined bio for our program, and we joke in it that we've been working on 17 other ideas while procrastinating on this project, which couldn't be more true. Yeah. Like, I feel like every couple of weeks one of us calls the other like, I had a new play idea, and we're like, great, we need more initial ideas. So we're excited to like flesh some of those out and like and drill down on something. But
yeah, we have a couple of other Shakespeare adjacent play ideas. I think it'd be fun to just sort of like build up a little battalion of Shakespeare adjacent plays. But we also have some ideas that are much further afield from that and completely different, but all you know, comedy forward, and with our particular brand of
lunacy.
Lunacy, yes, exactly. That's the word.
Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.